Some years ago, I had organized a communicants class for young people who were interested in joining the church. And in that class was a young girl. Name was Carrie. She was about 16 who had ambitions to be a swimmer. So during our class times together, and it varied because of her schedule, she told us her practice schedule for the swim team at high school. It was grueling. Swimming both before and after school, most evenings occupied with schoolwork and swimming, and then on the weekends, swim meets in various counties and states, Maryland, Virginia, Delaware. Her ambition? Her goal was to obtain a full scholarship to a major college for swimming. Her social life was nil, and many times she would come to church late because even on Sundays, we know that day is not sacrosanct anymore. Even on Sunday, she would either practice or compete. And I still remember her graduation announcement from high school that came in the mail with the fact that she obtained a scholarship for swimming at Penn State University. She accomplished her goal, but it came with a heavy amount of commitment and discipline. Her life was shaped and molded around this goal of a swimming scholarship. I think most of us enjoyed watching the Olympics. Each and every time I see some woman or man stand out, you sort of Google and you read their history, such as the woman swimmer who won all the gold medals, and invariably what you read about is that this person literally gave up their entire lives to reach that particular goal. I can remember being in conversations about baseball players and how their salaries are grossly inflated. Now, some people may say, well, Joe, you know, you're a fan of the New York Yankees. What are you talking about salaries for? But those salaries are inflated. But as the conversation continued, I remember one conversation in particular where one man said, you know, they really gave up their whole lives to get where they are today, with hours and days and weeks of practice and practice and practice, beginning when they're probably in the third and fourth grade. It sort of quieted the group a little to realize that these players had not achieved this level of sportsmanship by accident or through laziness, but through dedication and commitment, discipline, pain, and a deep love for what they were doing. In today's scripture lessons, we hear from both Old and New Testaments about the cost, the price, what is involved in a committed discipleship to Jesus Christ, and we as part of the church can see this through the prism of a commitment to Jesus Christ through this, his congregation, Bethel Presbyterian Church. In the reading from Jeremiah, the writer speaks about a potter going down to the potter's house and watching as the potter shapes and reshapes the clay in his hand, as I'm beginning to do now in my hand, and you may want to do in your hands as well, shaping it into something which is deemed good. Jeremiah is speaking to his people, God's people, about what it means to be the people of God. And not just the people of God, but the faithful and committed people of God. Jeremiah was addressing a people who did not take their commitment seriously. The people on too many occasions had wandered from their commitment to their Lord. They were wasting time chasing after false gods. They were not faithful in their lives, with their neighbors, and in the synagogue. So their commitments of resources, time and talent and finances had almost disappeared. They cared less about social justice, and in some ways were embracing evil in their lives. So Jeremiah uses the example of the potter's house and this potter shaping and reshaping clay to make it into something which the potter can use for himself and for others. I'm not very gifted, but I just kind of made a little circle with this piece of clay. I figured that's pretty ingenious for me. Our Lord God is always trying to shape and reshape our lives into that which can be used to be a blessing for ourselves and others, but mostly to bring praise and glory to the Lord God. Each of you has a small piece of clay, of dough, clay dough, and during our time together, keep it in your hand, shape it and reshape it into various forms, but all the time thinking about how God wants to shape and reshape your life into a vessel which God can use in a very vital and meaningful way for the Lord and for this His congregation. We are asked in these scripture lessons in a very direct way, more so in the gospel lesson, to reshape our lives as needed to realign our commitment to Christ through this congregation. Jesus in the Gospel of Luke tells us directly what he expects in terms of being a faithful disciple. Now let me say that for many months I've talked at Pines Chapel about what God has done and continues to do for us. And I'm sure I can say the same thing about this congregation as well. This beautiful, beautiful piece of land. And I remember roaming these grounds when I was pastor at the Bethany Presbyterian Church back in the early and middle 90s. This beautiful piece of land. In fact, my daughter took music lessons in the manse here back in the 90s. Wonderful congregation, community of faith, the friendships that you have here, the memories that you have here, the forgiveness that you've heard here, the missions accomplished, the people that you have met, the children baptized here, the marriages performed, the baptisms, the funerals, the meals of fellowship, the music, the education. The Lord God is doing these things. And the challenge is now for us to respond, perhaps with a new emphasis, as we begin a new church calendar year following Labor Day, a new emphasis on personal commitment to the life, the mission, and the work of this His congregation. Luke 15:26 says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." End quote. Can any of us measure up to that standard of discipleship? I know I can't. And certainly Jesus is using a lot of hyperbole here, exaggerated language, to press home a point. That commitment has to be real and genuine and honest with passion and depth, or it's not commitment. Commitment in Jesus means a sacrifice. It means putting our faith first, not last. It means hurting. It means going out of your way. It means enduring some pain to move the work and the mission of the church forward. When we were baptized, or when we renewed our baptismal covenant, there is a phrase in there which speaks about being baptized into Christ's death. Death and resurrection. We probably understand resurrection, that glorious time of rebirth and renewal, both here on earth and in the life hereafter, but baptized into his death, that is, we share in the cross of Jesus Christ, which means making the hard choices about our lives of faithfulness and our commitments to Jesus Christ through the church, through this church. Jesus is utterly serious and urgent about what he is saying, for he knows his time on earth is ending, and his disciples will be thrust into positions of leadership and responsibility for the mission of Jesus Christ. What does this have to do with this congregation? It might be a little different than Pines Chapel, but you've come a long way. This church has a rich history for a long, long, long time. You've accomplished a great deal, but there is more to accomplish. And so in this line of thinking about faithful discipleship, I would emphasize a couple things. One, I emphasized at Pines Chapel. Pines Chapel is now, within a couple weeks, being wired through Comcast. Social media will begin at Pines Chapel. We had a lot of discussion about it. How can the internet be used to enhance the mission of the church? I grew up with a rotary telephone. I remember my phone number in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Hunter 94682. And I got that number when I would dial the operator. You got to know who the operator was. Say, could you please connect me with whatever? And then sometimes you had party lines, so you got to know the person sharing the party line. Then came the typewriters and the stenographs and the floppy disks. I was just talking to my wife, Tricia, on the way over here, on the way down to church this morning, talking about computers, and I remember she's the one that urged me to move from my electric typewriter, which I thought was the greatest thing in the face of the earth, to computers and floppy disks, and so I reluctantly did that. And I remember typing my first sermon on the floppy disk. And when I went to my office there, I was outside of Washington, D.C. in Silver Spring. And the floppy disk broke. And I had no sermon. I remember kind of flipping the floppy disk against the wall. And went the next day into church by memory trying to preach that sermon. Come a long way now with computers and social media, but the internet to be used to enhance the mission of the church. And I'm not an IT guy. I can't really recover a whole lot of stuff on my computer. But I do know that probably the internet and social media has a purpose in the life and the mission of the church. And how that's molded into the life of the congregation will be important, because I know that the next generation of Christians, you know, you see them walking around. So they all use the social media. Not that that's the know-all and in-all and the silver bullet for the life of the congregation, but it's a part. And so at Pines Chapel, we're going to be working at internets and computers and social media, being a part of the outreach of the church, so that we can begin inviting folks to come to church, not just folks whom we know or who live down the street, but maybe who are several miles away, and we can inform them about what's going on in the life of the church. We could sit by idly, but I think you have to become more proactive and engage in the community and use the resources we have to shape and mold and create mission and ministry for Jesus Christ through that congregation, through this congregation, baptized into the death of Christ, to make room, what I have to eliminate from my life so that I can have room for some other things that maybe that Christ is trying to mold my life into doing. More of what he wants me to do and a little bit less of what I want to do. So Pines Chapel, and I trust this congregation, is always looking for passionate and committed, and above all, folks who are open to the shaping and the reshaping hands of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's trying to do with your life and the life of the congregation. Challenging times have always been here and will always be here. But during any challenging time, the Lord will shape and reshape us and mold us into his vision. allow His hands to shape and mold you in these weeks and months ahead. Following Labor Day, we refer to it as sort of a new church calendar year. What might we do as a sign of new commitment in this new calendar church year? Being reshaped by our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition to worship, what might we do less of personally and more so otherwise to enhance the work and the mission of the church? I've asked folks to pray each day for your church, our church, and to pray for its leadership. To think about who you might invite to come to church. What kind of leadership coming on the session might you provide for this year and next year? Organizing youth group events, the choir, or teaching in church, and using social media to inform folks as to what's going on in the life of this congregation. Each of you have your own ideas. Look at that piece of clay again. Bring it home with you as a reminder that we are to be like clay in a potter's hand, to be shaped and molded by our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we think we should shape our own lives. And even if we do, like the prophet Jeremiah said, the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. You know, sometimes we make a commitment to get married, and it doesn't work out. But according to the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord will take our lives and reshape it, and renew it, and remold it into what the Lord Jesus Christ wants it to be, to once again be fully used in His life and His service. The point here being that many times we get out of shape for whatever reason, and it's hard for the Lord to use us, but the Lord is capable of reshaping our lives back into the shape if we but commit ourselves to His creative hands. That's what's great about our Lord Jesus Christ. There is always another day. There is always forgiveness. There is always redemption. There is always a new creation. Thanks be to God.